dun, 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 dun. Just play that in a loop.
Yeah, we'll just play our own theme music.
Or I could just keep dun, 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 dun.
Please do not. Live from the Mundangerous Bunny Slope in New York City, I'm your host Shane.
And I'm your host Ishan.
And welcome to episode 23 of Total Party Thrill, a podcast for game masters and players where we discuss our campaigns in order to inspire yours.
In this episode, we're ringing in 2016 with the first annual Thrilly Awards, as well as our New Year's gaming resolutions. But first, the Morning Glory campaign learns why doors have locks. And later, we build a sentinel in the Character Creation Forge.
Alright, so there's some kind of big news. Dragon Plus, the digital representation of the old Dragon magazine, is now available on the web, not just in an app that you didn't have.
Is this the first step toward paper?
I don't think it's going to go back to paper.
Actually, I'm okay with that because I'm a big proponent of PDFs.
So that's funny because all the back issues of Dragon and Dungeon magazines are available on DriveThruRPG.
This makes me super happy that it's not just going to be siloed inside an app, because every time I was preparing a Morning Glory session, it was always worth $4.99 to me to save like 5 hours of my life and just download some old Eberron content that I could then just repurpose.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't asked my mom to just throw away all my old Dungeon and Dragon magazines, because I had so many from high school, and like I was looking through them. I found a preview of A Song in Ice and Fire. George R. R. Martin was still writing it back in the day, right? And like, there was just a preview chapter. It was amazing.
Coming soon, an epic story. Yeah. Do you like the Shannara series?
Right. It's funny because it's kind of been parted out into different things now. So there used to be all the homebrew content of Dragon, the sort of lightly tested, play-tested material that you could use at home.
Those were the days.
That's basically Unearthed Arcana now. Some of that stuff is kind of still happening. The Sage Advice, Jeremy Crawford's just doing that.
And available, like, yeah, free online, totally separately.
From Twitter. And it's actually still a segment within Dragon Plus. Chris Perkins is probably more accessible than ever. And he was the old editor of that and wrote his column. So the stuff that's in it is just in different places. And blogs have really backfilled a lot of that stuff as well.
Honestly, I think this really is the next step after shutting down the Wizards forums. They know now that they don't really need to host all of the content that's around. Why bother?
Yeah. All right. So let's check in with the Morning Glory campaign before we get on to the Thrillies.
It's a great name. It's it's better than some names for award shows.
Would you prefer the 2016 Total Party Thrill Academy Awards?
I wanted the TPTs.
The TPTs. That's about all they're worth.
The statuette would have been amazing and useful.
Yeah.
Okay, so the party just recently discovered what looks like a giant battery in a labyrinth beneath the Caneth facility, filled with shards containing both devils, demons, and celestials. And they closed a portal to Shavarath. They took what seems to be an important shard that has a celestial in it. And they said, well, there's nothing else here, but this seems super important. I think we should go talk to Aaron DeCaniff and Primus and ask what the heck is going on. So you guys go back to the surface and then find Aaron DeCaniff and say, hey, horrible things were happening down there. There was a portal to Shavarath. Can you believe that? We closed it. Whew, man, you really should have brought us in on this earlier. And he says, wait a minute, how'd you get down there? And the party says, well, you know, we had a key. That looks a lot like the ever-changing cubic shape in the chest of your friendly god.
Yeah.
We opened it and went in there and closed that portal. And he said, that place is locked for a reason. It is off limits. And that is a terrible idea. And you close the portal. That's how we get the celestials and the fiends to put in the shards.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yeah. Well, hey, we stopped the battery construction.
Yeah. We need the battery construction because that's part of the disjunction, which, by the way, is happening very shortly.
Yeah, but we knew that was a bad idea because we know that that disjunction ends up causing the day of mourning.
And he went, pish posh, that's ridiculous. Because Sirens all say Britishisms like that.
Yeah, very much like them.
It's really more like Renaissance Italy, honestly. Yeah. But anyway, he also says, by the way, have you seen Nistrum Shadar?
We were recently in his quarters, but we hadn't seen him.
Huh. Well, if you see him, let us know. We're all looking for him. He's been gone for 2 days.
And at this point, the party goes, oh, crap.
Because 2 days is right around the time that he knocked all of you out.
Right.
And then presumably trapped his apartment.
Which is how we found out about the battery underneath the facility, and thus why we opened the locked door.
Exactly. So all of you put your heads together, and Aaron says, okay, maybe we should find this guy. And you guys say, well, you know, I think we can help with that. Here are some of his possessions. Maybe we can scry them.
don't ask why we have those. Right.
No reason.
Just like many things that we did in the wrong order, we'll talk about it later.
That's right. Why do they smell like smoke?
So we basically built a scrying device.
You basically built a compass, like from The Legend of Zelda. You took the objects that were close to him and sort of built a triangulation device so you could locate him using all of those investigation and knowledge skills that you guys were so good at.
Uh-huh. And where did that lead us?
A graveyard, obviously. He was in a graveyard.
Well, like a crypt, like a mausoleum, right?
Well, from what you could see, Aaron DeCana said, oh, those coordinates, that's a graveyard. And then you went to the graveyard, and as you got closer and closer, you realized that the exact coordinates were, yes, in an underground crypt. You guys were smart, and you sort of loaded up on anti-undead items and objects, bandoliers of holy water and things like that.
Yeah.
I think you prepared Sunbeam, or maybe you can't cast that yet, but something, Daylight, things like that.
Oh, I could always cast that. That's one of the most efficient sorcerer spells, sir. We thought we were being smart and planning ahead.
You were being smart and planning ahead.
For the first time. How'd that turn out for us, Ishan?
Really, really well. Because you go down into the mausoleum and around a few corners, and then you see someone sitting in a chair, not really doing anything. And you check for a bunch of traps. There's nothing there. And you approach, and you realize it's a Syrian soldier.
What kind of condition was he in?
He was a little groggy, and so you decided to help him in that. Sprung the trap.
And what was the trap?
You were all caught in a force cage.
Well, and not all of us.
That's true. Bahar was not caught in a force cage.
Right.
And then the entire mausoleum collapsed onto the force cage.
Yeah, see, Bahar should have gotten in the force cage.
Right, where it's safe.
Right.
He was a rogue. He was fine. Yeah, he was just like, I think I'll evasion this.
Right.
However, though, he, being a monk rogue, really had no way to handle this force cage, and you guys didn't want to waste an hour. But you also didn't want to get rid of the force cage and have the entire ceiling collapse on you.
Yeah. So we called in some help.
We'll find out who next week.
All right. Let's move on and begin the 2016 Total Party Thrill Awards.
We should get some really awesome music here. Just like not too expensive.
All right. I'll see what I can do
maybe
on a budget.
Maybe like free.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the first category.
Well, so I think we learned a few things, this being the first annual, is that next year we're going to solicit some categories.
Yeah. We could crowdsource better.
Yeah. These are great categories. Let's be honest. These are great categories.
But we're probably missing some.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, let's start small. So there's two sets of categories. The first are the D&D categories, and then there's sort of the gaming at large categories, right? So we'll start with D&D. First category, best unearthed arcana supplement.
We went back and forth about this, but honestly, if you know us and you've been listening, you probably know which one we're picking. And it is November's Light Dark Underdark.
That was the one with the Underdark Ranger, with the close quarters tunnel fighter, and also the cool warlock abilities.
And the Shadow Sorcerer. We weren't happy with that Shadow Sorcerer, but they were interesting abilities that we thought could be used elsewhere, and we really liked that Ranger.
Right, right. So this category was a little tough for us to pick, though, because Light Dark Underdark was sort of both of our second pick, and we disagreed on our first pick, so we decided it was the best on average. So what was actually your favorite supplement?
I would give an honorable mention to May's Waterborne Adventures, which had previews for both the Swashbuckler and the Storm Sorcerer, and then a really boring Minotaur.
Yeah, the Minotaur was lame, but both of those classes made it into Sword Coast Adventures Guide.
Yeah, and at the time, we looked at it and went, oh, these are really good. And I allowed both of them in the Morning Glory campaign.
Yeah.
Lose player, Susie, ended up retconning to a Storm Sorcerer. And yeah. That worked really well.
And I briefly considered it as well.
Right. I think you were also briefly considering Swash. Oh, you didn't have enough rogue to go Swashbuckler.
Right, right. Right.
But Bahar was considering Swashbuckler for a little while.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so my honorable mention was December's That Old Black Magic, which almost completely not usable for an actual game. As I mentioned, the spells are maybe usable by NPCs, but man, do I love the characterization that they gave to those demons. Like, it helps you understand the demons better than the MM. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, you can read through the whole list of demons, but if you really want to know what they're going to do, even not just in combat, right? Like in their daily lives.
Right, right. Like when this spell, when you lose concentration, he's going to bid out his services.
Telepathic.
Who has the most gems?
Every 1d6 rounds.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's just, it's fun. And it's a set of interesting mechanics that if they make their way in somehow, I think it'll be great.
It's certainly something that I would use as raw material.
Yeah.
I would definitely pour it over things like that. And it telegraphs really well to players who encounter these kinds of creatures. Oh, that's what happens?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when they meet them again, they'll be like, well, we know what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And you can almost look at those conjuration spells as plot hooks, right? Mm. You want to use a demon in your campaign. Here's what that demon thinks about.
Right. There's a rock on the loose.
Right.
Well, why isn't it torn everyone apart? Well, it's getting a lot of gems.
Yeah.
So the next category is best 5e official supplement.
So there's not a whole lot of options in this category.
Yeah, something we've talked about.
Yeah, I don't think this will be a surprise to anybody. The award goes to Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide.
We did a really thorough review a few episodes back, and I think our consensus was that it's a useful book. There's something certainly that could be done better, but if we got an Eberron version of this book, I think we would be happy.
Oh, yeah. For me, that's what it was, is most of my reservations about it were that it was in Forgotten Realms, and I can't hold that against a book.
From what I've seen, a lot of people didn't like it because they didn't think it was thorough enough, but honestly, I would like it much less if it were twice as thick and twice as detailed about the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah. So there is an honorable mention there. Granted that the only physical books are Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide and then the Adventures that got released this year. I actually want to give an honorable mention to the Lost Mines of Phandelver module for Fantasy Grounds, the virtual tabletop, because I think that is a great option for virtual play, and I think it's a great value for the Lost Mines of Phandelver, and really that extends to any of the adventure modules. That just happens to be the one that I played first. So our next category, stepping out of the D&D, Best Gaming Kickstarter.
And the award goes to Rum and Bones.
This was a board game produced by Cool Mini or Not. It was a hugely successful Kickstarter. We have some friends who backed it at the max level, or backed it and then bought all of the add-ons. It's like 40 boxes of minis, and they're awesome. They're all pirate themed. They've got their own characterization. There's different factions and mercenaries. The game is fun. It kind of plays like a MOBA, if you're familiar with League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm. It's kind of that in board game form. It was a blast.
I will say that we both seriously considered giving this award to Phoenix Dawn Command. We playtested it. It was a lot of fun. I think at higher levels, it's going to be a blast. But we felt a little odd about giving the award to something that hadn't actually shipped this year. So we didn't.
Right. And I also wanted to give an honorable mention to No Thank You Evil from Monty Cook Games. It's a RPG, introductory RPG, aimed at children. And so I'm excited when it comes in, I'll be able to introduce RPGs to my cousins who are currently 11. And hopefully they'll still be 11 when it finally ships.
I'm super excited about hearing how those games go, because I've got 5-year-old nephews and I'm just sort of waiting to get them into something.
Right, right.
Yeah. The award for Best RPG Book goes to Enemies Without for Dark Heresy 2.
This was a fantastic supplement, in my opinion. Had a good number of player options, both from character creation and post-character creation, which is always nice. The fluff was amazing.
It's insane. It's so good.
Yeah. It does world building. It's based around alien races within the 40K universe. So it does such a great job of explaining each of those in the context of a Dark Heresy game, because it's 40K. There's a hugely popular tabletop war game. But that fluff doesn't quite translate to how a character living in 40K would understand it.
Right. You're not walking around on some hive going, oh, you know, Tyranids and Necrons.
Right. I love that. The Necron section is just called weapons cache and a series of numbers and letters.
Right. They're secretly whispered about as the Men of Iron.
Right. So what was your honorable mention?
Honestly, it was Skag again. Simply because, well, we really want Eberron material. And if you're listening, Wizards, you know, bring it on. Or Green Ronin, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, bring it on.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that's what separates Skag for me, is if that were the format of the Eberron book, I would love it.
Yeah, I would happily be complaining right now about how it should be twice as long and have twice as much depth about Eberron.
Right. All right, our next category is Best Tableside Resource. And the award goes to City of Brass, a campaign management and character sheet web app. That's a pretty crowded space. I think what sets City of Brass aside is how elegant it all fits together. And how customizable it is, how easy it is to build out your sheets and build out your worlds, your NPCs, your stories, and then tie it all together within a campaign so that you're tracking notes and the characters themselves are tied into it. So I think it's a really elegant app.
Better than Google Docs?
I mean, Google Docs is my honorable mention. You know, I've had a blast running campaigns through Google Docs as well. So
my honorable mention goes to PDF copies of all books. Fantasy Flight Games does a really good job of putting out really nicely formatted PDFs.
Oh, the only problem is sometimes they don't come out at the same time as the book, which drives me nuts.
I'm not really sure why they're doing that. I don't know if it's because they're afraid it'll take a bite out of their physical book sales.
Or it takes them so long to get all the linking within it, right? They do a really good job of linking pages, and I just wonder if maybe that's why.
That's a possibility. In any case, we're very glad that they exist. Wizards does a terrible job of this.
Yeah, the only digital content for 5e is within Fantasy Grounds. And I just wish there were PDFs.
Yeah, I was running a 3-year campaign. I am not going to cram a bunch of heavy books into my tiny messenger bag that I also have to take to work.
Right.
And look like a decent human being who can hold down a job.
Right.
Not like some creepy weirdo with like 50 books in a bag. How about just a tablet?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
The award for Best RPG Company goes to Green Ronin for, well, everything.
They knocked it out of the park this year.
Mm-hmm.
They released Fantasy Age and Titan's Grave, the system and setting that was featured on Will Wheaton's tabletop.
Mm-hmm. And Wizards begrudgingly kept admitting that Sword Coast Adventures Guide was a collaboration with Green Ronin.
Yeah, I love seeing the Green Ronin advertisement on the last page. I thought that was funny. I mean, congratulations to Chris Pramus. You guys knocked it out of the park this year.
Yeah, I think they've been doing good work for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. All right, so on to our New Year's gaming resolutions.
We should have solicited these.
Yeah. Hey, what would you guys like us to do next year?
All right, so my first resolution. Sometime in this next year, I'm going to actually run a Dark Heresy game.
So we talk about Dark Heresy a lot on the show, just as an aside, because it's kind of the game that we've been playing most in recent months.
Mm-hmm.
You would be the third GM of a Dark Heresy game in our group.
Yeah, I've played in, I guess, probably 4 different games, plus a play-by-post one as well.
Yeah.
Because I really love the system, and honestly, I did not think that it was a system that I would like way back when we first started with this. I was like, random stats.
Right.
What is the point of, oh, we die soon. Okay, yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah. I guess I'm always a teenage boy because I have not grown up from Warhammer 40K lore yet, so I'm glad that you want to run a game too, because I love playing it.
1D4chan is the place to be when you got nothing else to do.
Yeah. All right, so my first resolution for the year, I want to get Keith Baker on the show in 2016.
What?
We've talked to him about it in the past, but I felt like we weren't ready to have him on the show yet. I think we're at a point where we could do it justice. And with Phoenix Dawn Command coming up as well, we could talk about that as well as Eberron. I think it would be great.
Right. We were really ironing out the kinks early on, and we really did not want to blow this with him.
Right.
But I would love to have him build something for the Forge.
That would be hilarious.
I'd also love to talk about 5e Eberron. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, his blog with some potential ideas that I was using in the Morning Glory campaign. But now that we have Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide, it's looking like Eberron and 5e is potentially closer to a reality. I don't want to talk about that for days, so maybe we can get him on the show for a few hours.
That would be great. We'll have Keith Baker month.
So my next resolution is something that Shane and I have talked about, but I want to be more careful with it, is making sure that we've got gender parity in the way that we refer to characters in the Character Creation Forge. And also NPCs in my game in general. I feel like I'm better with that. But with the Forge, only a few times, I think, have we been saying, you know, she rather than he. And, you know, part of that is just because it's a habit. But, you know, it's a habit that we want to be better about breaking.
Agreed. We could definitely get better about that and improve our representation.
Should we get behind Z?
No.
No. Yeah.
So my second resolution, I want to get Shadow of the Demon Lord to the table.
I'm down.
It's Rob Schwab's new game. It was a Kickstarter that I backed. I've got $100 worth of adventures and the core book. I've played it. It was fun. It's got all of the grimdark that we like about Warhammer 40K. It's got the same deadly kind of combat and that sort of thing. I think it would be fun to play. I think it's a nice change of pace from heroic high fantasy like D&D.
I heard that it just won an honorable mention at the Thrillies.
I know.
Which is really impressive.
I don't know if they're going to put that award on the cover of the book, but I'll send it to them just in case they do.
Maybe inside back cover.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to play. I've been hearing good things about the system, and you know, we've been looking through the book, but I actually want to get my hands on it and see how it rolls, literally.
Yeah.
So my next resolution is that I want to go to Gen Con 2016. Because I wasn't there last year.
I totally support that.
You were there last year.
I was. I had a blast.
Yeah, you and Jim had a great time and I wasn't there.
Right. Oh, maybe we had a great time because you weren't there. Do you ever think about that?
All the time. It's pretty much the only thing in my mind. So if that's the case, I'm going to make sure that I'm there so that you don't have a great time.
That's a fair move too. No, Gen Con was so much fun last year and it really opened up my eyes to a whole different type of gaming. And if it wasn't for Gen Con, I wouldn't have met a lot of great people and I wouldn't have gone to a Catacon this year. The idea of a gaming convention really didn't make any sense and didn't have any appeal to me until I tried it. It was a blast. I left going, how long till next year?
And of course, by then, we're going to have this deep roster of episodes. So it'll be really nice to be able to meet a lot of the listeners.
Yeah.
And, you know, potentially make some new ones. We'll see.
Sure.
I will also say that I resolved to go to South by Southwest as well. But I know that's actually happening because I'm going for work.
Are you going to do any gaming there, though?
I'll be at South by Southwest Interactive, so I think there'll be enough people there. So I will let you guys know when it's getting closer. And if any of you are in Austin, maybe we can get together or meet up or something like that.
All right, cool. So my next New Year's resolution is that I would like us to participate in Extra Life, which is a charity that raises money for the Children's Miracle Network, which is sick kids.
Okay, but you're lawful evil.
I know, but I got to maintain the facade.
Oh, facade, yeah.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with Extra Life, it's popular within the gaming community, and generally what it's focused on is 24-hour gaming sessions, and people stream their 24 hours to raise money for it. And I went up to New Hampshire and visited our friends over at the Board Game Replay YouTube channel for their Extra Life campaign. Had a blast. I would love to be able to do that ourselves and actually raise some more money. We did a couple $1,000s this year, and I would love to put a campaign behind that and combine our listeners and their viewers and everybody to really make an impact.
So 24-hour podcast.
You think we can do that for 24 hours?
Probably not.
A couple weeks ago, we struggled to hit 40 minutes.
We could put together some show notes for 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
I guess we'll mix in some actual play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then actual arguing.
Yeah.
My next resolution is that I'd like to write an article about D&D for work. For those of you who don't know, maybe you see me occasionally tweet things from my professional Twitter account, but I'm a journalist. I write about the advertising industry. I'm thinking there's some kind of story there. I'm interested in doing it. I would bring a lot of expertise to it, and it's an opportunity to get super nerdy and get paid for it. So I'm going to work on something. I'll keep you all posted. I always need good sources.
playing D&D at work. It's like, just market research, man.
Yeah.
I gotta understand the topic.
I spent 2 whole days watching Star Wars commercials for work, so that was good.
Wow.
I know you don't care, Shane.
I don't.
Go back to your sports.
In fact, the day that we're recording this is the day that Star Wars comes out, and I don't have tickets, and I will probably have it all spoiled for me by the time I get to it, and that's fine. I'm not setting myself up for disappointment.
I don't have tickets either, but that's because I want to be able to hear it. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go in the theater. I just want to make sure not everyone is screaming.
Right.
Because I'm old.
Right.
I'm an old man. I'm an old man who loves Star Wars, and I want to watch it alone with no pants.
You might have to wait a while. So for my next New Year's resolution, I also want to write about games, but I already blog at mundangerous.com, and I would like to do that more. The podcast has taken up a whole lot more of my time than I thought it would.
We should do worse editing. That would help.
That's the thing, is like the editing takes so much time because we want to do such a good job with it, and we've gotten better, but it's still the nights that I used to have free where I could actually sit down and write tend to be taken up by that. So we're getting better about it. I think we're going to hit a point next year where I can actually get back to doing both. So then the other thing is I would like to have some guest writers writing at mundangerous.com as well. I'd like to make it a more open platform for people to get started with blogging and writing about their games and their experiences with RPGs.
I'll write you a review of mundangerous.com.
That we'll publish on mundangerous.com.
Yeah, scathing review. But then everyone will know that you're not beholden to special interests.
Yeah. Man.
You know, maybe the editing would go more quickly if we were better recording.
It's possible.
I'm so glad none of you guys can hear the raw audio. What's my line?
Right. It's right there, dude. It's scripted.
And my last resolution for 2016 is I'd like to start that play-by-post game that I've been talking about, running it. But, of course, I don't really know what system to use, and there are a lot of really good options.
Yeah, you know, you can knock out 2 resolutions at once if you'd run Dark Heresy.
It's true. Dungeons and Dark Heresy, that might be fun.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually also looking for suggestions for where to run it. So if you guys can send ideas for either, that would be helpful.
And my final gaming New Year's resolution, I want to run a longer-term campaign for our group.
So like 3 months?
I mean, 3 months would be a nice starting point, yeah. Because every time I run a campaign, we get into it, and then within 3 or 4 sessions, it kind of peters out.
You know, I think part of that is because you get a little antsy.
Yeah, that's part of it. And it's also because I've been trying to do pirates every time.
Yeah.
Because that's always been like the change of pace that we haven't done and haven't done successfully. And finally, I gave up on pirates and just said, all right, we're going to do space pirates. And now we're doing Rogue Trader.
Right.
So it's totally working now.
I mean, you want to run pirates. We're happy to play pirates, but you can't keep that genre on the rails. Yarr.
The problem is trying to do real pirates. The theme is actually a lot lighter than you think. Like, what makes it separate from just a regular high fantasy campaign is like there's a few notes that you can hit, but those don't last long term. So I feel like I hit those early, and then it's like, all right, well, we're going to do this again. We're going to do some more swashbuckling.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how many fights can you have across ships before it's just like.
Right. Water again. I mean, we're in space now. So actually, that sort of limits your options. You can't even go in the water.
Yeah, you should totally jump out in space and see how that turns out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can hold my breath because I'm a good swimmer. So I think we'll be fine. They're called the eddies of the warp for a reason, right? It's like water.
Do you hear that, Ishan?
Is that me knocking on the airlock to be let back in?
That sound can only mean one thing. It's time to move on to the Character Creation Forge. But before we do that, let's talk about how our listeners can get in contact with us.
We love hearing from you.
You can tweet at Shane, at Mundangerous. That's M-U-N dangerous.
And you can tweet at Ishan, at Evil Sans Carne. That's malice minus meat.
You can tweet at the show, at TPTcast.
And if you can't fit it into 140 characters, you can also email us at totalpartythrill@gmail.com.
And finally, you can find us on the web at www.totalpartythrillcast.com.
So, this episode in the Character Creation Forge, we've got the Sentinel. But what exactly do we mean by a sentinel?
Well, I think he's a guardian, first and foremost, right? Mm. So he has to be able to secure the perimeter. And then if the perimeter is breached, he has to be the first line of defense. So he's going to be in there taking some punishment. And then he needs to understand if anybody has breached the perimeter. So he's got to be very perceptive, very high awareness, probably have some tricks up his sleeve to detect people, and maybe some booby traps or something like that to keep anybody from really getting too far.
Maybe even be a little paranoid.
Probably a lot of paranoid.
Which I guess fits with the build we put together. That's Vengeance Paladin 8, Rogue One.
I mean, you knew that was coming, right?
Yeah. Ranger 1.
We've done that before.
Yeah. And Divination Wizard 10. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Figured that one out.
And then the race on this one, almost as ridiculous, a feral tiefling with wings.
These are options from the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. A feral tiefling is +2 dex, +1 intelligence. So you're just swapping +2 charisma for +2 dexterity.
Right. And then the wings is in exchange for your Infernal Legacy, which
because
is...
Because it's terrible. Who cares?
It's some innate spellcasting or whatever. And now you fly.
Yeah, obviously.
So,
of course we're going to take wings. Right. If this is Adventurers League, don't take the wings.
Yeah, do something else, I guess.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, I mean, you could take High Elf and right. you get a free cantrip.
Or you could take Half Elf and get +2
everything
to Charisma.
Everything, because they're awesome.
Yeah, and one then, to Dex, one to Int.
And you Keen know. Senses.
Right.
You can swap that. Don't do that.
So, this is a Dex-based Paladin.
What?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. not a popular build. But one that we think will work. So he's going to be using a shield and a rapier, mm-hmm. making finesse attacks. So that will work well with Rogue.
It also helps his initiative, which is very important for a jumpy character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want to be jumpy and going first.
Also helps with those dexterity saves.
Yeah. So why Divination Wizard?
We were trying to build a character that can see everything. And, well, we kind of got turned on to Divination Wizard last week when we were answering one of the questions from the mailbag.
Right.
And we started looking at it really carefully and going, hey, wow, yeah, you can see lots of stuff. Also, Portent is really great.
Yeah, so you get the Portent ability, which lets you roll 2d20s and then replace a d20 roll with those results later on during the day. Mm-hmm. You also get the Expert Divination, which lets you basically cast your divination spells and recycle those spell slots. But at level 10, you can see invisibility right. all the time.
There are several options, but just take see invisibility.
Yeah, because now no one is going to get through your range of sight. Invisibility is the biggest risk for most of a character's life.
And of course, Rogue One, one of your expertises is going to be perception.
Yep. And probably a good idea to have maybe a stealth or a deception, something like that, so that you can hide when you should be watching. So perhaps you catch somebody not thinking there's a guard at all.
Right. A sentinel also needs to be able to find things that aren't looking for them. So that's why Ranger's in there for tracking.
Yeah.
It's a pretty feat heavy build. You really want Alert, which will give you a +5 to your passive perception. Keen Senses is nice. And of course, the Sentinel feat, because in order to be really effective in combat, that's why we've got Vengeance Paladin in there. You want to freeze them in place with Channel Divinity, close, and then once you hit them, they can't escape from you.
Right. And then you're also getting some of that protection quality, right? When an enemy attacks your ally, you hit them, mm-hmm. which synergizes nicely with Rogue, because that can trigger your sneak attack an extra time, as well as the Ranger's Hunter's Mark.
Right, and you're going to see it coming because your perception is so good.
Exactly.
And then, of course, you've got your Aura of Devotion that is giving everyone within 10 feet of you your charisma bonus to their saving throws, which is basically you going, everybody hit the deck!
Yep. And so we built this around targeting some iconic spells. That's really where the Divination Wizard comes in, and the Paladin was sort of fitted to that.
Right, we kept thinking, all the things that we want to do, they're mimicked really well with spells. We should just take spells.
Right. So the first one is a cantrip from Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide, Booming Blade.
So good when you don't want people to get away from you.
Yeah, it's the one that causes a little bit of damage now, but if they attempt to move, then it hits them with a wallop of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly the best anti-infiltration spell, period. Glyph of Warding.
Yeah, why did Nistrum use a fireball when he should use Glyph of Warding?
Because you didn't know that Explosive Runes was buried within the Glyph of Warding spell in 5th edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We found out later. Yeah, otherwise there would have been like juicy love letters or something that you guys would have had to have read.
Right. Yeah, and then they were signed, I prepared Explosive Runes this morning.
And then, of course, the most iconic spell that we were building toward, True Seeing.
Right, and that allows you to see into the ethereal plane. It gives you True Sight, which of course lets you see illusions and invisibility and
lets you see through darkness, magical darkness.
Magical darkness, right. Mm-hmm. It basically makes you the perfect watchman. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, remember your divination wizard. You should have all the divination spells, which are going to be extremely useful for tracking down anybody who you suspect would be trying to breach your perimeter.
Right. And combined with the paladin spell list, you get all of the detect spells, locates, all of those.
Zone of truth. Mm-hmm. You know, are you trying to break into my perimeter? You cannot lie to me. I like this build. It's a fun combination of the divination wizard and of a vengeance paladin. And paladin, because it uses those spell slots for smites, it works well with almost any other caster.
It's got 10 levels of wizard, but it still puts out a ton of damage.
Right.
And of course, you know, you could use those wizard spell slots for evocation spells if you want.
I mean,
because you're not spending any of those spell slots on your divination spells.
Yep, exactly. So how does your sentinel get on this strange path of holy warrior, rogue, ranger, and diviner?
Starting as a feral tiefling with wings.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're insane. All right, so again, we chose Feral Tiefling with Wings because it fits, but also just to mix things up a little bit. It could just as easily be a high elf or a half elf or something certainly far more normal. But we go with what we've got. If you are a Feral Tiefling who grows up outside of Tiefling society, that's already super weird, and you've got big leathery bat wings that let you fly, you're an outsider.
You're very much an outsider.
Yeah. You're the definition of outsider.
Right.
So you're not beholden to that path that's expected of you by other people. So if you've dabbled in a little bit of magic, you're not thinking, oh, well, I need to commit to the art for the rest of my life because that's what a real wizard does. And of course, you're probably a little bit angry. So,
oh, so you're taking the angry paladin here.
I mean, it's a vengeance paladin. Is there any way to go other than angry paladin?
Could be avenger.
Angry. That's an angry paladin.
It's the Dark Knight.
Is Batman not angry? I think he's always angry.
He's still not killing people.
But he wants to. He really, really wants to, which is why he doesn't. If he didn't want to, I think he'd just kill the Joker, which would be smart.
Yeah.
Batman.
Not this again. No more comic book tie-ins.
Batman is chaotic evil, obviously, because he should kill the Joker, because the Joker kills so many people, and he is culpable.
Oh, God.
I don't actually know if I believe that. Let's move on.
Okay, so I like that angle of kind of being insane.
Yeah, I like that a lot, because you're a divination wizard. You're seeing things that are not meant to be seeing. You're seeing the future, glimpses of the future. That would make anyone crazy.
Okay, so I would take it in a different direction from that part, where I would say, as a feral tiefling with wings, right? Like you said, you're an outsider naturally. And I like the combination of being paranoid because you're a loner and having that hard trusting, but also this desperate need to fit in. So you're the tiefling who has found some friends, people who will work with him and will protect him and will risk their lives with him. He would do anything to keep that going. And so he becomes the protector of the party. He stays up all night and keeps watch, which I know doesn't work perfectly well for a tiefling, but whatever. But he's the one who he's refined his craft. He's using his augury almost paranoid to keep everybody safe. He will do anything. And perhaps that vengeance paladin comes in with a divine commitment because he has lost somebody. So especially if you can lose somebody in an early level, you know, like level 3 or something, you can lose a party member. That's a good time to jump into that vengeance paladin.
Accidentally.
Right. Maybe he used augury too much and got a bad reading.
If you keep using it,
it gets worse.
Yep. Yeah, I like that character arc for any kind of difficult character that people play often. Oh, I want to be the lone wolf. Oh, great. You can be the lone wolf. But people who feel like outsiders often attach very strongly to the small group of people that they do actually care about.
Right.
And an adventuring party is a perfect example.
Yeah. Your one man wolf pack has grown to 3.
Yeah, and it gives you a good reason to actually get out there and adventure, and a good reason for them to keep you around.
Yeah, like you're the guy watching their backs constantly, obsessively, a little bit concerningly.
Right. Maybe they need to keep you from murdering all those children because the children were a threat.
Right,
obviously,
right.
In town. They don't let you go into town.
Right, exactly.
But we keep you around. He's good people.
And you know, with all those glyphs of warding and securing the perimeter.
Oh, man.
We built Twitch.
Yes, we did.
From the All Guardsmen Party, which is a legendary post in 40K about the 40K RPGs. We have built one of the iconic characters.
As soon as this episode is done, as soon as you're done listening, go find it and spend the next 36 hours reading it.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's an amazing piece of documented gameplay.
And still ongoing.
Yeah, it is. It's great. All right, it's time to beg for reviews. If you want to support the show, the easiest way to do that is to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. If you're willing to help us out and do that, we'll read your review on the air.
You can also find us on Stitcher. It's like a Pandora for podcasts. If you like or favorite us there, the algorithm will help other people find us.
So what do we have planned for next week's episode?
We'll be talking about character death.
And in the Character Creation Forge?
We're building a mounted knight.
Sounds like those things might be tied together shortly. It's all right. We'll make a good run at it.
Please stop.
On that note, that's it for episode 23 of Total Party Thrill. I hope we've lived up to our name, but either way, I'm Shane.
And I'm Ishan. Thanks for listening.